Hi, I'm Erin Eber of Pub Slush Press, and I'm here interviewing Joanna Penn. She's the author of adventure thriller novels Pentecost and Prophecy, and she also pens the site thecreativepen.com, which helps people write, publish, and market their books, and it's been voted in the top 10 of blogs for writers for 2 years running. Hi, Joanna.
Hi, Erin. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So let's get started. The first question I had for you is, when you were first publishing or trying to be published and you were using the traditional route, how did you envision your career was going to go and how has it changed since then?
Well, it's actually quite a funny question because, around 4 years ago now, I decided to write my first book, which was a nonfiction book on career change. And so I wrote that book and I queried one agent and I got one rejection. And then I decided that I didn't like rejection and I could definitely do it myself. So I didn't really, and then for my novels, I didn't even go anywhere near traditional publishing. So being indie, going independent is actually a positive choice rather than a last resort for me and for a lot of authors these days. So so I guess 4 years ago, I thought, yay, I'll get a publishing deal and be a multimillionaire like we all would love to be. But what I've, you know, I knew nothing about publishing back then, and I've learned a lot over the last 4 years. And basically now I see my models as people like Amanda Hocking and John Locke, who had great indie success. And then some of, you know, Amanda's taken a book deal, a really big book deal, 2.5 million. She's a fiction author. But, you know, there's lots of other authors who've got picked up with a traditional deal on the back of their indie success. So for me, I'd much rather go with the sort of positive attitude of, let me prove myself first, and then hopefully they'll come to me.
So is that the ultimate goal with your self-publishing, would you say, to eventually be picked up by a traditional publisher? Or do you think you would stay self-publishing and, you know, continue on this path?
Well, I think the beauty these days is that people are doing both. People are doing this blended model. So one of my online friends is CJ Lyons, who's a New York Times best-selling author, and she mixes traditional publishing with indie publishing, and so she gets the best of both worlds. She gets all the kudos and the, you know, that the bookshops, and then she gets the indie side, though, the freedom, control, the pricing. And there's no reason why people can't do that anymore. You just need to have, you know, a good number of books that you can either sell or keep the rights to. So I think the more people understand about how publishing works and how rights work, they will see that you can do both. Right now, I'm only new, you know, in terms of my fiction life. I've got two novels. They're selling pretty well. I've sold over 16,000 copies on my own. So at some point, you know, I might consider approaching an agent, or, you know, I'm really loving doing it on my own. So we'll see. I guess I'm not really decided yet.
Do you think that you have sold more copies on your own? Or do you think that had you gone the traditional publishing route, you might have sold even more than what you've been able to sell on your own? What are your feelings on that?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. If you get a good traditional book deal, they are going to help you sell. But the reality is that I was and still am, you know, well, I've just published my second novel, but I'm a first-time novelist, which doesn't put me in a very strong position. And I'm all about empowerment of your creativity and all about your, you know, empowering authors to do what they want. And I guess I wanted to write these things. You can get them out very fast and prove myself. So, and I want to be in a strong position where I know what I'm doing and I know what I'm writing. And this year I'm going to write a whole stack more books. So if we have this conversation next year, it might all be different. But, you know, that's the way it's going.
Great. So what role do you think that authors should play in their own promotions when they're self-publishing? And how much do you think that they should be spending, you know, of their own time promoting themselves and pushing the sales of their book?
Well, it's, you know, for independent authors, we do have to do a lot ourselves. But I have a lot of friends in traditional publishing or who've left traditional publishing they have to do it as well. So this is not just something that indies have to do. It's something that we all have to do. If you're traditionally published, you know, the publisher wants you to do marketing. So this is not just, you know, the end if you get a book deal. So essentially, I think, you know, you are the best person as an author to promote your book as well. You know, I can talk intelligently about my novels to you, and I don't have to make it up like a, you know, a publicist would. We've got some time, so most people will have to make time for this. So I started blogging as a marketing tool. I started on Twitter as a marketing tool, and those things have taken off and I love them. They're fun. But yeah. Then, you know, there's also things like Amazon, getting book reviews, pitching book bloggers, doing, you know, doing paid promotion if you want to invest in that kind of thing. So I definitely think that authors, I mean, obviously, if you're self-published, you have to do it all. And if you're with a publisher, you have to do the bit that the publicist doesn't do. And I think also important is that we have this idea of this big launch period, this sort of, you know, 3-week period, when in the olden days the book would hit the shelf and you had to hit the list. That's not like, it's not like that anymore for indies. We've got time and we can, you know, go, you know, do sort of wave promotions over time, so we can keep selling our backlist. So I guess, yeah, you know, those are some of the things.
Yes, and I think actually that's something, I'm so glad you said that, because that's something at PubSlush we've really tried to educate authors about, is that even if you do get picked up by a traditional publisher, you do have to still be the one pushing your book. It's your baby, it's your creative process, and you have to sell it. You know, the line, I think, is that we can't make your mom buy your book. You know, you have to do, you have to be the one promoting yourself in a lot of ways, even if you do have somebody behind you helping you do it. So yeah, I think it's great advice.
Actually, what's funny at the moment is in London, Amanda Hocking has just hit London with her books that she got picked up for. And she had actually said on her blog when she got her book deal, I want a book deal because I won't have to do marketing anymore and I won't have to do. And now she's on this physical book tour. She's actually in London. She's doing speaking, she's doing videos. And it's kind of funny because she has to do all that anyway.
Yeah. You get a little bit of help, which is nice. But yeah, you still, at the end of the day, have to be the one making it happen. So what would you say were the biggest obstacles that you encountered through your self-publishing process?
I think I started off, and why I started the Creative Pen was to actually share some of the pain and to try and help people find information. Because when I first published How to Enjoy Your Job or Find a New One, which is my career change book, I didn't have a clue. And what some of the mistakes I made are, first of all, I wrote the book, published the book without knowing anything about marketing. So I didn't sell any books. Literally. I mean, and then even when I did TV and radio and I did newspapers, traditional media, I only sold about 100 books. So that's why I learned about internet marketing, and that's why I share it now with other people. But essentially, I, you know, those were mistakes that I made. That was the first big one. The second big one was doing a print run. A physical print run of several thousand books when I didn't have a distribution channel for physical books at my house. So I paid money to, you know, to have these books. And in the end, you know, then I discovered print on demand, which is when, you know, I know you know, but other people, when someone buys a book off Amazon, one copy gets printed and sent to the customer. Yeah. So there I could reach the American audience, whereas I can't reach the American audience from my house. And at the time I was in Australia. So that was a mistake. So that's, you know, two things that cost me time and money. It cost me about a year in effort and also several thousand dollars in money. And I've also fallen in with the, you know, the kind of scammy pay us to be in our book type of compilation, which, you know, I'm also kind of against. So essentially, I try and save people time and money and heartache by sharing all of this information. So I think you can avoid those mistakes if you know, you know, you learn about the publishing process and about marketing before you put some money in.
Yeah. So you mentioned finding internet marketing and what a difference that made for you. What would you say is the best thing a new author could do using internet marketing? Would you say that, you know, your blog or Twitter or Facebook or all of the above, you know, what's the best thing for an author to focus their time on?
I think any of these things can be the thing for you. But I personally think that we all need a home on the internet. So I think you need a blog, whether that home is your, if you're traditionally published, your author page, or whether it is your blog, or whether it is your Facebook page, whatever. I think you need a home. For me, it should be a blog, so you can share things with your audience. And you also need a list building mechanism. So that is somewhere that people can sign up and say that they're interested in you, because you have to capture a list of people who want your stuff and your writing, so that when you have another book, you can market to them again. I think if all you have is that list building, you know, and the way to capture it is through a blog or through a Facebook site, for example, then you're going to be able to market the next time and the next time. And I see so many authors who don't have list building on their websites, and I just don't know how they're going to contact the same people next time. You know, the important thing is to be able to email everyone and say, hey, my book's out, send it up the charts.
Yeah,
there's so many ways that people can market these days. But I do think the most important, like the number one thing, if you can't do anything else, is you have to get book reviews on your Amazon page or your Nook page, because people will only buy, and those sites will only recommend you if you have book reviews.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what would you say your long-term plans for the Creative Pen are?
Well, you know, it's funny, my life is kind of divided into two. I'm like, you know, Joanna Penn, thriller author, and then I'm the Creative Penn. And on this side, I do speaking. So I do, I want to do more international speaking. I spoke in Bali last year. You know, I'm speaking in England now. I was speaking in Australia. So I want to come to America. That's definitely on the cards. I want to really be the number one site online for, you know, the whole indie publishing space, I guess.
Do you find that that's hard to manage your original plans of being a published author and then having this other side of you that's supporting authors in their process? Is that making it harder for you to, you know, focus because you have these two things going on?
Oh, definitely. It's one of the, like, what I have to do in my diary, you should see my diary. It's like, today is like a doing day. It's a Creative Pen day. Yesterday was my novel writing day, and I was in a library and I spent all day there and I have my creative time. So in my diary, I've got days scheduled, you know, 3 or 4 days a week I spend doing creative writing, you know, fiction in the library, and then the other days I'm here at my desk doing the Creative Pen. And I mean, I make money from my blog. It's my full-time, I am now a full-time author entrepreneur, so I sell courses, you know, and my, you know, speaking, consulting, that type of thing. So I have to manage them both, but it's also, I guess I am an entrepreneur. I've had my own business for years, so I do kind of, it's important to me to have a this angle as well.
Yeah, I think that's something that authors struggle with nowadays, is you do have to wear so many hats. It's no longer you're just an author and all you do is write. You also have to be a marketer. You have to be a promoter. You have to have all these other things involved. And so I think that's really important to be able to schedule out your life and know when you're doing different things.
No, that is right. But I think what we have to remember, and I find the word self-publishing now, I find to be a bit of a misnomer. That's why I prefer indie publishing, because we, even if we're self-publishing, we're not doing it on our own. So we hire professionals. You know, we hire an editor, we hire a cover designer, you can hire people to do your marketing for you, you can pay for promotion. I mean, some of the best and easiest promotion is to pay $300 to a site like Kindle Nation Daily or Pixel of Ink, or join KDP Select and put your book for free for a few days. These things will give you a massive marketing boost. So you don't have to do all of this stuff on your own. You know, if you have some budget and not just your time.
Yeah. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your new book, Prophecy, and what sort of marketing strategy you've adopted, for this novel versus your last one.
Right. Well, I actually have a master's degree in theology, which is quite funny. So I love and I'm obsessed with religion and art and architecture and the culture that surrounds kind of, you know, religion, particularly Judaism, Christianity. So I wanted to write a kind of Dan Brown, you know, meets Lara Croft, action adventure thriller, bit of Indiana Jones, sort of romp around these amazing cultural sites in Europe, the Middle East. I'm getting into Africa. I come to America, blow things up, you know. Basically, I like that fast paced, like an action movie. So Prophecy is the prophecy itself is basically the end times, the apocalypse, that the pale horse of the apocalypse will come and a quarter of the world will die, and our heroine Morgan Sierra and the Arcane Agency, which is a secret British paranormal agency, have to stop the bad guys before the end of the world. So it's really big and explosive scope. So that's kind of my novels.
Okay. That sounds exciting.
Yeah, I mean, I'm all about having fun and excitement and entertaining people. This is not going to change your life. This is going to entertain you. So in terms of marketing, it's interesting because it's the second in the series. So Pentecost is at 99 cents on the Kindle. So it's aimed at just give it a go, and then Prophecies at $2.99. So I'm actually focusing on remarketing Pentecost so that people get hooked into the series, buy the first one, then buy the second one. And I'm doing some promotion on some paid promotion on that. I'm also doing the guest blogging, the online book tour. I'm doing, the podcast. I'm doing the usual suspects. Yeah. Essentially, but not as big as I did for the first one. And I'm actually going to, I want to, the third one will be ready in, between 4 to 6 months. So what I'm probably going to do is wait until I have three before I really, really push again.
Okay. Great. So when you're reading for your own pleasure, do you seek out self-published authors? And is there any one in particular that you've really enjoyed?
Well, it's funny you said that, because I think I find books in a number of ways. One is, surfing the Kindle store. I read like 99% on the Kindle now. So if I'm surfing, I'll find books I like. I don't think many people know what is traditionally published and what is indie anymore if we get the quality right. So you used to be able to tell with pricing, but now, traditional publishers are discounting books and that type of thing, and you it's almost like you can't even tell. So yeah. I think sometimes we don't know, but certainly I also find books on Twitter, and I have a lot of indie friends on Twitter. So and I also read my friends' books, obviously, because we support each other. But recently somebody recommended a guy called Martin Lastrapes, I think it's pronounced, or Lastraps, and it's called Inside the Outside. It's the most disturbing book I think I've ever read. It's about cannibals. It's quite kind of horror, but so compelling. And I was like, wow. And I emailed the author and I said, look, I need to talk to you, because in my own books I'm quite violent, I'm a nice person, but I'm burning nuns alive, and I'm kind of, ritually murdering children, not in a horror way, it's a thriller way, so it's like A-team violence, you don't actually see it all. But I wanted to talk to him about how, as writers, we kind of channel these dark things, so I'm going to interview him about that. But yes, so I recommend him, Martin Lastrapes, Inside the Outside. And I also read one by Ali Luke, who's another writer blogger called Lycopolis, which is like a fantasy novel. So I definitely mix and match,
Oh, great. So how would you define the role of the customer when it comes to self-published novels, and how important do you think that consumers are in making authors successful?
It's a really weird kind of question, I think, because for me, I'm writing for I'm writing for me, but primarily I'm writing so I can make some money from a customer by pleasing the customer. And they, you know, some of the big people who do make a lot of money say that you will make more money if you give people what they want. Mm-hmm. So I think as a writer who wants to be commercially successful, and that's really critical because, of course, you can write for yourself or your own pleasure or, you know, for many reasons. But if you want commercial success, you have to write for a customer. So you generally have to write in a genre because you know that customer exists. You know, when I say action adventure thriller, you know, Dan Brown meets Lara Croft, you know what that is. Mm-hmm. So as a customer, that's who I'm writing for. If you don't like that, I'm not writing for you. So I think the customer's critical. And we can't do without that. Although I would say that my first book was that the book that was on my heart and was not really written with much in mind. But now, you know, and I have a lot of ideas. I have another book that is on my heart that will be probably 2 years' time. But that will be kind of a separate project. And in the meantime, I'm writing commercially. What was the second half of the question?
I was just wondering, you know, after hearing your answer, I guess what the question was, do you think when you're self-publishing, it's more important to be giving the consumer what they want, as opposed to if you were traditionally published, do you feel, you know, you could do more what was on your heart, what you were saying? Or
Completely the other way around. Yeah, I think that traditional publishers, they're a business. They're not doing anyone any favors. They pick up books that will sell. And most indies have been rejected because their book hasn't been deemed a good enough seller. And some have been picked up when it has been proven to be a successful seller, like Amanda Hocking, for example. So I think as an indie, you have much more scope to be adventurous, to do things that are on your heart, and especially if the money doesn't matter, you can still publish it and you can probably still find an audience, but it might be very small, which is something that traditional publishing wouldn't be interested in. So yeah, I think we have much more creative control as indies.
Yeah, great. So on your blog, you actually recently interviewed Jim Kukral, am I saying that correctly? And he just published a book called No Publisher Needed, Crowdfunding Your Book, How I Raised Over $300,000 in 30 Days. So what did you learn about crowdfunding by interviewing him? And, you know, in your opinion, do you think crowdfunding fits in with the self-publishing model, and how so?
I think it was 30,000. I don't think it was 300,000, but it was still, you know, it was still enough for him to publish his book. Yeah, I'm really interested in this crowdfunding or pre-funding model where you essentially get pre-orders and then you use that money to, you know, pay an editor, pay for the design and all of, and printing if people get a print book. You know, it's not something I've used myself, so I hesitate to comment on things I haven't done myself. I definitely see it as a one way that people can express themselves. I guess what I struggle with slightly is that I think it constrains you in that you say, before you've done the project, this is what I'm going to do. Whereas in the creative process, things often change over time. And maybe you've promised this thing, and then you find that's not what it's ended up as. Are those customers still going to be happy? So I think it's great if you're very sure about what you're doing. I think there've been more models, you know, more examples of it with nonfiction than fiction. Although I think, you know, some people are doing both, or I don't know. It's one of those things that's changing almost daily. But the one thing I would say to people is that if you're doing an ebook only, which a lot of authors are these days, you know, once you've finished it, once it's been edited, it's published within 24 hours. So it's almost like, if you can just get a list of people who are ready to buy it, they'll still buy it on the first day. So you almost don't need pre-funding.
Okay, great. So where do you think publishing is headed in the next 5 to 10 years? What would be your guess?
5 to 10 is a bit of a long stretch. It's a hard one. At the moment, anything's game. You know, we've got Apple maybe this week coming out with something new. We don't know what that is yet. We've got Amazon every week coming up with something new that it's exciting, like KDP Select was the new one. Amazon's turning into a major publisher, so I think within 5 years they will be one of the biggest publishers in the world, of print books as well. They may well have bought a brick and mortar bookstore like Barnes and Noble in order to have bookstores where people can browse and then link back to their online store. I don't know. I mean, it's just a wild west. I think, you know, Google ebooks are going to get bigger. Certainly, I think the majority of mainstream books will be ebooks. Yeah. Within 5 years, I've completely changed my reading model with the Kindle. The stigma of self-publishing will have completely disappeared because there'll be so many different ways of doing things, and there'll be the tools so that I, as someone who doesn't program, I can still create myself an app, and I can do this and that and the other and express my creativity over multiple ways without needing, you know, all of these people doing stuff for me. So yeah, I see more empowerment, and it's a great time to be an author, and it's only getting better.
Yeah, it's very exciting. So many changes in the works.
Exactly. And I mean, like, you know, companies like yours starting up, and, you know, people who are passionate about books and about publishing, trying to enable people to do more and more in this space. And, you know, people keep writing books, so it's great.
Great. All right. Well, that was it of our questions for you. So this has been Pub/Press interviewing Joanna Penn of The Creative Pen. And you can find this interview at pubslush.com and also on The Creative Pen website. And thank you so much. Thanks for sharing your advice for authors. And we look forward to everything else that you're going to be doing with your blog and your writing in the future.
Thanks so much for having me, Erin.